Just going to have a conversation with you for a little while, and then we're going to pray for some people at the conclusion of our service. A few things I want to make you aware of that popped up in church news. I just want to make sure that you know that they're coming up. First of all, our Next Steps nights start on the 20th of this month. They're on a Wednesday night here at church, 7 till 9 p.m. We've got two courses running this term. The first one is a CAPS Money course. It's Christians Against Poverty. How many of you know the best way to help the poor is not to be one of them? It's true. The best way to help the poor is not be one of them, but learn to run your own money, your own financial world well and in a healthy way, and as Damon highlighted, so that you then can help other people, which helps them and also helps you. And so this course runs for 4 weeks. It's a free course. Won't cost you anything, and it'll just talk to you in very practical ways about your money. That's that's run by Mr. Trent. Trent, why don't you stand to your feet? Yeah, give him a big hand. This is Trent. Trent's a member of our management team and looks after business in our church, and that's his background professionally. And so he, along with a team of people, look after the CAPS course. You can register for that at the welcome desk in the foyer before you go home today. There's limited spots, only about 20 spots. We're not allowing them to be too big because we want them to be personal and intimate and practical. So that starts on the 20th of February, Wednesday nights here. We also, starting on that night, we'll be running a Bible course. We run several of these a year from the Hillsong Bible College. This one is called Jesus, My Bible, and You. So Jesus, the Bible, and You. It's studying the life of Jesus. It's studying the Bible practically and helping you to understand how to, I guess, interpret and understand the Bible in a more effective and productive way for every one of us personally, and then a little bit just about life. And so that course is a pay course. For that course, it runs for 7 weeks. The cost is $90. For that course, you receive a little booklet to fill out as you go along, and I'll be looking after that course and lecturing that course. We've limited the numbers to 10 people, so that's a very small class that we'll be running for this term. So Jesus, the Bible, and You, starting February 20. All the leaders and those involved in team in our church, if you serve in any capacity in our church, we're kicking off our first Leaders Equip Night this coming Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m. Everyone say 6:30? 6:30 p.m. And what is it? It's potluck. And I love potluck. Food is just a wonderful thing that God invented for us to enjoy. And so we're coming together on Wednesday night. Bring your best meal. If you're working, go get some KFC. Bring something like that and spoil us all on the night. 6:30 p.m. sharp. We're going to eat. Then I'm going to talk for a little while about some leadership principles in the life of our church and how we can do church in a better way. You can come along if you like, even if you're not part of a team. If you're not a leader, you're welcome to come along. We're not doing anything in secret in these meetings. We're just trying to build people. That's what we're trying to do. And if you'd like to be a part of that, be here Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m. The entry cost is food. Turn to your neighbor, say food. Bring food. Bring food. Bring a generous plate. Bring a generous serving on that night to share with other people. And then, of course, the other big item is Vision Sunday coming up, which is, we kind of do it over a month, but we highlighted on Vision Sunday, the 24th of February, and we're going to begin talking about our theme for the year and unpacking that. It's always a dynamic day. But today is Anointing Sunday, and I love this Sunday in our church every year as we give the opportunity for everybody in the house on that day to be anointed with oil and prayed for. And personally, I think it's one of the highlights of our year as we all set the stage for just asking God to be on us and in us through everything that we do in this journey in 2019. So we'll give you, at the conclusion of the service, the opportunity to be anointed. I want to speak to you today about living an anointed life. How many people want that? Living an anointed life. And what I want to do is I want to break this down, and I want to do what I always do. I want to dumb it down. I want to dumb it down so we all understand what this whole concept of being anointed is, what the concept of the anointing is, because there's a lot of, I need to be careful with my words because I so easily offend people when I talk about this, and I don't mean to offend people, but in some ways the only way to get your attention is to offend your mind. And offending the mind is the best thing you can do for the heart because it exposes what's in the heart. How many of you know that? When your mind gets offended, what's in your heart comes out. And so for a moment, I want to offend your mind. There's a lot of weirdness around when we talk about the anointing in church world. There's a lot of religious jargon that kind of polarize people and keep people out of the party. There's nothing worse than someone having a party and you not being invited. Or having a party and you're kind of on the outside wanting to be on the inside grooving with everybody, but you're not asked. You're not welcome because the language keeps you out. You didn't get the invite in the mail. And I don't know whether you've ever had that experience, but I don't want you to have that experience here. So today when we talk about the anointing, I want to break it down for you so that we clearly understand this, because it is simple. It's intended to be simple, but I think that we make it weird by using religious jargon around it, which keeps a lot of people out of the party that God intended them to be involved in. Is it okay if I do that for you today? To help us to learn to live an anointed life. If I was to go around the room and ask people to explain what the anointing is, we'd have a whole lot of varied interpretations and representations of what we think the anointing of God is on our lives. Like, you sometimes hear people say, well, that preacher is really anointed, or that worship leader is really anointed, or that song is really anointed, or that church is really anointed. What we actually mean is this, is I really identify with them. That's what we mean. What we mean is I like that. What we mean is I feel something when I hear that song, or I hear that preacher, or I hear that worship leader. And really what we mean is there's an alignment of something within us, within them. There's an alignment of something that's on us that is also on them. It doesn't mean that that preacher is any more anointed than that preacher, or that singer more than that singer, or that church more than that church. It just means that's what we have an affinity with. That's what we have an alignment with. Like, when you hear some preachers preach about the anointing, they kind of give prominence to the word and reverb to the word, like anointing. And it just sounds more anointed to say it that way, doesn't it? Like anointing. And when I say it like anointing, I get the tingles. And some people, like, what we mean when we say the anointing sometimes is really weird. And what we mean is, for a lot of us, we just mean it felt good. It feels good. But you know, the anointing is not really about feeling good. It's not about feeling good at all. In actual fact, it has nothing to do with feelings. It has everything to do with function, is what the anointing has. It has everything to do with function. Anointing has nothing to do with the fact of whether I raise my voice or I speak quietly. In actual fact, I can be just as anointed speaking quietly as I can if I speak rapidly and passionately and plead with you. Makes no difference. I'm anointed. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm anointed. I'm anointed. What I want to achieve today is I want you to walk out that door understanding you are anointed. And I want you to have a confidence in that. I want you to have a competence in that. And I want you to have a calmness in that truth, that you are anointed by God. In the Old Testament of the Bible, they would anoint anything that was to be used as a furnishing or a fitting or a function in the temple of God. So in the temple, if there was a seat, it was anointed with oil. If there was a person fulfilling a function in there as a priest, they were anointed with oil. In the Old Testament, they would anoint priests, prophets, and kings. In actual fact, they still anoint kings today with oil. Such a priority placed on that marking of someone to do something significant. In the Old Testament, it speaks about the anointing, that it's the anointing of God that would come and destroy the yokes of bondage and the chains and the oppressiveness that are on God's people. And so the anointing is depicted as something that determines something to be special or unique, but then also a process of power that would deliver people. In the New Testament, it wasn't prophets, priests, and kings that were anointed. In the New Testament, everybody was anointed. The people were anointed in the New Testament, because in the New Testament, the anointing was the Spirit of Jesus and the Holy Spirit given to us on the day of Pentecost that brings the presence of God on everybody going everywhere to fulfill the function of God. And once again, it wasn't about goosebumps and feelings. It was about function. There was always a purpose behind God coming upon people. In the New Testament, the anointing is always also spoken of, the anointing oil, in terms of if you're sick. And if you're sick, you were commanded to ask for leaders to come and bring the anointing oil. And they would anoint you with oil and they would pray for you. And so there is depicted in Scripture this thought that there's power in the anointing oil. Paul talks about the transference of power through the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands and praying for people. So there's a lot of different pictures that we have of being anointed, the anointing and anointing oil in the Bible. Can I make a comment about the oil? The oil that was used in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and the oil that we use today, nothing special about the oil. In the Old Testament, it was considered special because you weren't allowed to even have it in your home. It was only for the priest to have, and it was olive oil. Now today, I'm not sure what we're using today. Could be a bit of diesel 2040. I'm really not sure whose car we stole this out of. It doesn't matter what the scent is like. It doesn't matter what the look is like. It's not about necessarily the oil. It's about the symbolism of that is what it's about. It's about the symbolism of what it represents for us today. This is what the Bible says in Psalm 23, verses 5 and 6, which is kind of our launching text for this thought, where David, you know the psalm well, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures," rah, rah, rah. You know it. But verse 5 and 6 says this, "You anoint my head with oil." You anoint my... Now, you read that when you're first new in church, and you think, "What that? What's that? You anoint my head with oil? What's it mean to have your head anointed with oil?" And he goes on to say, "My cup overflows." There's a blessing. There's a benefit. There's a consequence of having my head anointed with oil. And he says, "Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." How many of you are aware something is stalking you? You're being stalked today by goodness and love. Goodness and love following. You've had that feeling someone's following you? Wandering after you? Stalking you? Here the psalmist David says, because of this anointing oil on my head, my cup overflows with blessing, and part of that is your goodness and your mercy, they're stalking me all the days. They're following me all the days of my life, and I will get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the anointing oil, what does it mean to be anointed? What does it practically mean to be anointed? Well, two components to being anointed. Number one is being anointed by God. When we're anointed by God, it means that God's Holy Spirit comes upon us to enable us to have a power, an authority, a creativity, a talent, a stamina, an ability, even a protection to do and stand in places that we would not ordinarily be able to function or stand in. In other words, it's simply God on us empowering us. That's one component of what it is to be anointed. When we're anointed by God and we're empowered to do something, and God ordains us to do that. Secondly, there's an anointing by people, which is what we're going to do today. And the anointing by people is symbolic of what God has already done in you. And so it's a marking where we put literal oil on you. See, God doesn't put oil on you, he puts the person of the Holy Spirit on you. What we do is we're going to put oil on you, like they did in the Old Testament, where David said, "My head is anointed by oil." And this is an external thing when somebody prayerfully applies oil to you as an outward sign of what God is doing inwardly. So the anointing simply means that we are marked and that we are set aside by God for God. So I'm consecrating my life to serve and fulfill the purposes of God and the cause of God. I want to serve that for my life. And I want every one of us to understand today, you are anointed. You are anointed. See, when we think of the anointing, we often think of the people that are visible in service of God, like worship leaders and preachers and evangelists. And we think they're anointed, and especially if they're American. And they're anointed. And you know, like Benny Hinn, when he comes to town with the anointing. And you know, you have as much anointing as Benny Hinn and Cheryl. Cheryl on the piano for Benny. You have as much anointing as he has. And you need as much anointing as he has. You were made by God for God. I need you to understand that today. These simple truths, before we go deeper into this, that you were made by God for God. You have a part, as we've been talking about in our Family Matters series, you have a part to play in the family of God. And your significance and success in life comes from living out that part and living for the purposes of God and the plan of God in your life. And our calling individually And our calling corporately together as a church is to live the purpose of God and to reach our world. That's what it's all about. It's not about sitting around a fire with an acoustic guitar and kicking our shoes off and growing our hair and what do they call that curly hair that you never wash? Dreadlocks, growing dreadlocks and singing kumbaya to each other and making peace signs. It's about reaching the world. That's what the anointing is for. It's about reaching the unreached and even the unreachable with the message and the love and the goodness of Jesus Christ for them. That's what the anointing is for. And the truth is, many people miss that. That's why they live miserable and that's why they live frustrated. You know, you're called in your career, whatever your career is. If you're a nurse today, you're called. If you're a teacher today, there's a calling on that. If you're a carer today, there's a calling on that. You're a truck driver today, there's a calling to do that. If you today serve as a mother or as a father, then there's a calling to do, whatever you do, there's a calling. If you're unemployed today, there's a calling still to serve other people. Find somewhere to volunteer, find something to do, find something to be proactive in. There's a calling on our life, and we need to make sure that our life is aligned to the purpose and the calling of God, because what God calls you to do, He anoints you to do. What God calls you to do, He anoints you to do. We have people today that are called and have an anointing to work in the kitchen and serve in the kitchen, and thank God for people that have a calling and an anointing to serve in the kitchen. I love that. There are some people that don't have a calling to the kitchen and don't have an anointing for the kitchen, and they should never be in the kitchen. They need to sit at the table while those that are called in the kitchen. Don't you love people that are served a call in the kitchen? I love it when you have the right people in the right place doing the right thing for the right reason at the right time. Same with worship leaders. I love worship leaders that know they have a sense of calling in that. They're competent in that. They're comfortable in that. And they're calm in that. And they bring something to the service. They bring something to the people every week. And you feel something flowing from them. It's God in them and it's God on them. And it's them understanding that's their calling. There are others that should never get a microphone. There are others that should have all forms of amplification taken away from them. And there are others that should not sing quite so loudly. There are others that should not sing at all. No, we should all sing, but maybe just quietly. And it's a calling. See, it's a calling. It's a calling. Whatever we do is a calling. There are some that have a gift to teach children, and they should teach children. There are other people that should never be allowed around children because they just don't cope. They don't respond well. They don't react well. They can't control themselves because they just lose it when they're around children and they don't understand children. In our church, we're all about getting people in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing for the right reason. We want people where they fit, and that's understanding the anointing that is on their lives. We all have it. We should all work in it and align with it. This is what the Bible says in Ephesians. I love this verse, Ephesians 2:10. It says, God has made us what we are. God made us what we are. He's made us the way we are. And in Christ Jesus, God made us to do good works, which God planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. God's got good works that He's planned for you and I to do. He's made you what you are. He's wired you the way you were wired. He's given you the personality that you have. He's given you the likes, the dislikes. He's given you the temperament. He's given you the physicality that you have. He's given you the chemistry that you have to make you who you are. You develop it, yes. You enhance it, yes. But God's given it to you to equip you to be and do the things that He has called you to do. What I want to share today as we draw towards our anointing moment is this. I want to give you five statements today, just five. Five pithy statements. They're biblical concepts, and I'm just going to throw them at you. They're just Bible clips. Bible clips. So they're just to think about, to give you an understanding of the anointing. And I'm not going to unpack every one of them. I'm just going to make a couple of comments, throw a scripture in, and then we're going to get to the main deal of what we're trying to do today. Number one, when God appoints me, He anoints me. When God appoints me, He anoints me. So whatever my appointment, I have an anointing for that. You know, when we first started on this pathway of entering ministry as we do it today, it wasn't like it is today many, many years ago. I wasn't as comfortable doing what I am today as I was many years ago. When I first started doing what I was doing, I was very nervous about it. I wasn't calm. I questioned my confidence and I questioned my competence. Whereas today, after doing this for a long time, it no longer becomes about the feelings that I have about what I do. I rest in what I do now. I rest in it. So I have a different energy. I used to get so nervous about Sundays. I'd be so wound up about Sundays. I couldn't sleep on Saturday nights. I'd be thinking about my sermon. I'd be contemplating what I was going to do. I was worried about who would be there and who wouldn't be there. And yet after all these years now, I get into a certain flow. And this is my happy place. This is my comfortable place now. But it wasn't that when I was 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 30, 35, 40, 40. Thinking, how old is he? And it took a while to grow into that being comfortable and that confidence about what I do. It took me a while to understand if God appointed me, he anointed me. If God appointed me, he anointed me. And I had to get away from this feeling of feeling anointed. I needed to get the intelligence of understanding I was anointed. See, King David was anointed 3 times to be the king. Anointed 3 times to become the king of Israel, where physically the prophet would anoint oil and pour it over his head. David would never forget that he was anointed to be the king of Israel and to function that way. It wasn't about whether he felt like the king. He was the king because he was marked and he was anointed. And I think every one of us need to get to the point where we understand, if God appointed me, he's anointed me. 1 Thessalonians, Paul says this, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. He will do it. He will look after it. So if God calls us, he promises to take care of it. So the truth is, Jesus empowers us. This is what the anointing is. He empowers us, he enables us, and he equips us to do good things. He empowers us, he enables us, and he equips us to do good things. I love the fact that Jesus just doesn't tell us to do good things. He empowers us to do it. He just doesn't say, go and do that. He empowers us with the Holy Spirit to enable us to do those good things. In Acts 1:8, it says this about the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The promise was to the disciples that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you will be my witnesses. This is the stated purpose in the scriptures from the mouth of Jesus, who was giving the promise to the disciples about what the Holy Spirit's baptism was all about, that you would be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In other words, Jesus was saying, I'm going to anoint you with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that will enable you to go everywhere representing me. You would go everywhere being a bold voice and a bold witness for me. So here's my thought. The anointing is actually about us reaching our world. The anointing is actually about us reaching our world. It's not about us enjoying a church service or enjoying a cute moment. It's actually about us going and reaching our world and understanding that we are enabled to do that, we are empowered to do that, and we are equipped to do that because of the Holy Spirit. So it's not about a feeling, it's about a function. So my question today is not about how you feel, it's about how's your function? How's your function? Not your feeling. How is your function? So number one, if God calls me or appoints me, he anoints me. Secondly, I like this, God's anointing makes me a better person. God's anointing makes me a better person. Biblically, this comes from the thought in 1 Samuel 10, where Saul was about to become king. And Samuel the prophet anoints him. And it says, Samuel took oil and poured it on Saul's head. Now, don't worry, we're not going to pour oil all over your head today. You're only getting a drop. It says he poured oil on Saul's head and said, God has anointed you to be the leader of his people. God's Spirit, listen to the language, God's Spirit will come on you in power and you'll speak like a prophet. He wasn't a prophet, but it says you'll speak like a prophet and you'll be changed into a different person. After this happens, do whatever you think is best because God will be with you. So he had this sense of calling to become a king. God comes upon him and anoints him to be king. And the thought is that he would become a different person because of this anointing that was upon him. You know, the truth and the reality is that God's anointing on every one of us and on our assignment will make you better at what you do than you really are. It'll make you better at what you do than you really are. When God anoints us, it changes us. When God touches us, it changes us. It brings that confidence I spoke about. It enlarges that competence that we all want to have. And it brings a calmness rather than a nervousness, rather than an apprehension, rather than a sense of I'm not able to do this. All of a sudden you have that sense of, as you grow into it, you have that sense of I can do this, I can be that one, I can be that person, I can be that leader, I can be that servant, I can be that kind of person because of the anointing of God that's on me. It makes me a better person. Thirdly, God's anointing makes difficult tasks easier. God's anointing makes difficult tasks easier. There's several energies you can live life on and you can be driven by. Firstly, there's your own energy. And you can live your life on your own energy, your own ability, your own confidence, your own power, your own self and sense of self. You can do that and get a certain distance and have a certain level of productivity and a certain level of, you know, producing results. You can certainly do that. But then there's a whole new level of energy. There's a whole new way of doing it, and that's doing it with God's strength. This is what Paul says about that in Ephesians 3. It says, from his unlimited resources, God will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. Through his unlimited resources. In other words, God is limitless. Limitless. As opposed to you and I. We are limited. We have a limited amount of ability, a limited amount of intelligence, a limited amount of wisdom, a limited amount of creativity, a limited amount of talents, a limited amount of everything is what we have because our resources have a boundary. They have a limit. Whereas for God, he is unlimited. He is limitless in terms of power and also resource. God enables us literally to live our lives with a different strength and a different power. Paul says it this way in another verse in Philippians 4. He says, I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength I need. It's not that I can do everything because I can't, but I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength that I need. Notice the title here, Christ. Can I just educate people that may be new to church that may not be aware, because when we use the name Jesus Christ, it's like sometimes people think that's his last name. It's his surname. You know, Jesus is his Christian name and Christ is his surname, like your name, like my name, Tony Sorey. Well, it's not Jesus Christ. There's no Mrs. Christ and no Mr. Christ. Christ is actually a function and it means the anointed one. The anointed one. So read it that way. I can do all things with the help of the anointed one who gives me the strength I need. I can do all things with the help of the anointing that gives me the strength that I need. You can either live on adrenaline or you can live on anointing. And living on adrenaline is good for a moment. It's like crazy for a moment when adrenaline is pumping through your system. And preachers know about adrenaline. We know about adrenaline because we use a lot of it in what we do. That's why a lot of preachers can't sleep Sunday night, because the adrenaline is just pumping through their body after doing a night service or doing a number of services together, and you just can't sleep. And as a preacher or as a teacher, as a nurse, as a truck driver, whatever your calling may be, you can't live life just on adrenaline. You need to live life on God's anointing. Why? Because our capacity is limited and we can't do everything. But with the help of the anointing and the help of the anointed one, with the help of Jesus Christ, he will give us the strength that we need to do the things that we do. So just to recap, some Bible facts are: when God appoints me, he anoints me. God's anointing makes me a better person. God's anointing makes difficult tasks easy. And then this one, God's anointing makes the impossible possible. It makes the impossible possible. Those two words don't belong together in the same sentence. If it's impossible, it's impossible. That's truth. But in God's economy, His anointing, His presence, His power on your life, in you and on you, makes the impossible possible for you. So the truth is, God can do stuff we can't do. God can do stuff that we can't do. Luke says it this way, Luke 18, what is impossible for men is possible with God. So when I reach my boundary, that's just the starting point for God. When it's impossible for me, it's in the potential and the realm of possibility for God. Paul says it in Ephesians 3. He said, God's power at work within us is able to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever dare to ask for or even imagine. So in other words, don't be afraid to dream big. Don't be afraid to live large. Don't be afraid to imagine for more. Don't be afraid to ask God, because God is able. Would you say that with me? God is able. Would you say it again? God is able. He's able to do what? He's able to do infinitely more. He's able to do the impossible. The impossible for me is possible for God and with God. And so we're able when we link up with God. Number five, God anoints my life. Why? To bless others. That's why. He doesn't anoint our lives to give us a platform. He doesn't anoint our life to get our name up in stars and travel the world. And he doesn't do any of that. It's not for that at all. If God does that for you and through you, He does it for other people. He does it not just for benefit towards our life. He does it for benefit of the lives of people around us and the benefit of lives that we will come into contact with and people that are in our world. There are people far from God that need to benefit from the anointing of God that's on our lives. If the anointing of God is only for us to have a little sing-sing and song-song, a little talk-talk and go home, then we've really wasted the essence of what the anointing is all about. Yes, it is about having a good sing-sing and song-song and talk-talk, but then it's got to be walk-walk. You can't have the sing-sing, the song-song, the talk-talk if there's no walk-walk. If you're not going to walk the talk, don't talk the walk. Oh, I could rap that if I could. That would be good. That would be amazing if I could. We've got to take the talk to walk it out in the community, in the streets, and to do good, to help people. So God blesses us so that we can bless others. In other words, whatever's given to you is given to you for purpose. It's given to you for a purpose. It's given to you and into your hands so that you can accomplish something for the cause of Jesus Christ and to build something in the kingdom of God and to reach people that need to hear the voice and feel the warmth and the love and the compassion and the grace of God around their world and around their lives. Jesus said it this way as He walked into the temple to announce His mission. He picks up the scroll for the reading of the day, and go figure, the reading of the day was from the book of Isaiah the prophet, and Jesus picks it up and announces that it's Him who the prophet was speaking about and writing about. And He says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then He says, because, He tells us the why. You know, there's always a why as to why the Spirit of the Lord is on us, and a why to the anointing. He says this, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year or the era of the Lord's favor. Here's the deal. If the Holy Spirit is in you, He's also on you. If He's in you, He's on you. He's there so that you can do good. So that you and I can do good, just like Jesus speaks about. We've got things to proclaim. We've got a message to share. We've got people to set free, people to release, people to restore, people to understand the good news and the era of the grace and the goodness and the favor of God. Jesus was anointed with purpose, and so are you and I. It's not just for kings. It's not just for prophets. It's not just for priests. It's for the people. And the New Testament is the opening of a whole new era. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn in two. No longer just for the priest to come in. No longer just for the prophet to be around. No longer just for the king to enjoy the chambers of the presence of God. Now it's for everybody, the everyday, ordinary battler, to have the presence and the anointing of God in them and on them. God wants us to live an anointed life. Yeah. He wants us to live an anointed life. life. You know, the anointing will help you help others that are in pain. The anointing. You know, oil, just practically, oil has so many benefits. In a car, oil means your car will last longer. Some need to listen to this. Get your oil changed. Every 5,000, 10,000 kilometres, you get it serviced, you service your car, it'll last longer. Some people never service their car and wonder why it blows up. Well, it blows up because you cooked it. You cooked it. You just didn't give attention to the things you had to give attention to. You need to give attention to the oil. Oil just helps to keep everything that is hot and heated working smoothly. Takes all the heat and the friction out is what oil does. You know, sometimes in church life, you just need a good dosing of oil because a little bit of friction around. And next time someone's all hot around you, just throw some oil on them. That'll sort them out. Just get a whole thing of olive oil and anoint them. Oil has a lot of benefits in healing. Healing oil. Healing balm of Gilead. Applying oil for various things to help our bodies, on our skin, to bring health and healing and wholeness. Oil has many practical properties attached to it to help people recover. Here Jesus speaks about the anointing that's on him, helping people to recover from life issues, the brokenness of life, the junk that life brings towards us. It helps people be blessed, is what the anointing does. For us to be blessed, for them to be blessed. Damon spoke about it. How blessed he feels when he helps other people. And that's something we can all share in. Helping the hurting, helping the lonely, helping the lost, helping the brokenhearted. You know, the truth is we are anointed to share and care. We are anointed to share and care with other people. And we are instructed to go and show. It's kind of like show and tell at school. And you know, your kids get all excited about show and tell. And they look for something that they can take from home to show the whole class. You know, something about their world at home, their life at home, who they are, who their family are, what their dad does for a job, what their mum does for a job, how many brothers and sisters they have, to show and tell the story. You know, the truth is the anointing is on us so that we can be show and tell to the world, so that we can be a light on top of the hill like the Bible talks about and to let it shine. The truth is the anointing is to help us reach and bless people. That's what the anointing is for. And the truth is we are marked by God. Literally, the anointing oil in the Old Testament was a marking. You would be marked and set aside to be used for the purpose of God. Every one of us is marked and set aside and consecrated to be used by God. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says this about Jesus. It says, "And you know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power." So it says that Jesus was anointed. Now Jesus is God himself. And yet here, Paul says that he was anointed by the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then it says what he did with that anointing. It says that he gathered a crowd, he sang a couple of songs, they had a good feeling, and they went home. Listen to what it says. It says he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Why? For God was with him. You know, when you're anointed, you have a confidence that God is with you. God is with you. And when you have a confidence that God is with you, you go about doing good. And you go about praying for people to be healed and made whole and delivered from the issues of life that have caused a broken and dysfunction in their mind, their body, or their spirit. And so the anointing is all about us doing good. We can't do this year without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We can't do and fulfill the plan that we have this year without God on us and without a confidence that God is with us. We can't reach a world and share love to a neighbor and blessing to a neighbor and hope to a neighbor and grace to a neighbor unless we have a confidence and a competence in the anointing of God that rests and abides upon us. 1 John says it like this. John the apostle says that you have an anointing that abides in you. It's not a matter of I'm anointed, I'm not anointed. I'm anointed on Monday but not on Sunday, or Sunday but not on Monday. I have an anointing that abides in me is the way we all need to understand this. We have God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ that resides in every one of us. We have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is given to us for empowerment and enablement to go and be bold witnesses for Jesus Christ. It's an anointing that every one of us needs. Not only do we need it for those reasons, we need it because of this. For every new challenge, I need a fresh anointing. For every new challenge, I need a fresh anointing. Now, I don't know what you're going to face this year. I don't even know necessarily what you're facing right now. I don't know what the circumstances of your world are, but I do know this, for every new challenge, I need a fresh anointing. I need a confidence, and I need a calmness. Because when I'm not confident, I am nervous, I am awkward. When I'm not confident, I feel out of my depth and out of my zone and out of my territory. And it's not pretty when people are out of their territory and out of their zone and in an awkward space. Like, you ever seen the movie Wild Hogs? There's a character on there called Dudley. I don't know whether you can recall Dudley if you've seen that movie. If you haven't, you just check out for a moment. You just enjoy your own zone for a minute. But there's a character on there called Dudley. And Dudley's kind of a little bit geeky, a little bit dorky. And Dudley, he can't dance. And the trouble is, though, when he gets nervous, he does dance. But he doesn't dance pretty. He dances ugly. When he dances, he does the sprinkler dance. How many are old enough to remember the sprinkler dance? Come on, put up your hand. You know it. You know you do it. And Dudley gets on the dance floor, and he's dancing quite fine with this girl that he has some interest in. And it's all working really well until he starts to get nervous. And they say, here, no. He's going to break out in the sprinkler dance. And he does. And it's that's kind of what we do. We all have our nervous moments. And in the challenges that you face this year, you need to have a confidence. Yeah. You know, when you're confident, you put your head up, your shoulders back, your chest out. You walk differently into a room when you're confident. You walk out of a room differently when you're confident. You engage with people. You talk to people differently when you're confident. You're cool, you're calm, and you're collected. So in the circumstances that you face this year, you need to ask God for something. You need to ask God for His anointing. James says this, you don't have it because you don't ask for it. You don't have it because you don't ask for it. There's no harm in asking. There's no harm in asking. I was at a restaurant this week. And the waiter came around and said, you can have one of these on the entree, you can have one of these on the mains, and you can have one of these on the desserts. That's what your package gets you for the night. So we all very politely went round and ordered one, and one. Until the last person, who shall remain unnamed, placed their order. And the last person asked the question that nobody else at the table asked. Can I have more than one? They said, can I have more than one entree? And you know what the waiter said? The waiter said, you can have as many entrees as you like. And I'm talking Japanese scallops. Like they were that thick. You know, sometimes you order a scallop, it's like that. It's like a pancake. These were like that. That round. Three of them. The moment we heard that you could have more than one, we all wanted to reorder. Let's come back here. We had six people, and we ordered 15 entrees. All because somebody asked the question, you have not because you ask not. Einstein used to say the brilliance is in the asking of the question. When I heard that question asked at the table, Lindsay, I thought, brilliant, brilliant. Why didn't I ask that? You know why? Because we weren't game. We're schooled. We are instructed. We are educated. You have one choice. One choice. One choice. Until somebody puts their hand up and says, but sir, I want more. You have not because you didn't ask for it. If you didn't ask for it, don't gripe about it. Don't walk out saying, well, only offered me one. Well, did you ask for two? Did you ask for more? Did you ask for a discount? Did you ask for a special? You have not, because you are. Have you asked God for His favor? Have you asked God for His blessing? Have you asked God for His healing? Have you asked God for His deliverance? Have you asked God for the oppression to lift? Have you asked God for the miracle? Have you asked God for the moments? I read on Facebook this week, and Cheryl saw it, of a lady that was in our church in Ballarat that had a daughter born, and she had trouble with the kidneys, and so they removed one kidney, and the other kidney, she was left to survive on one kidney, which wasn't a good kidney anyway. She's now about 23 years of age, somewhere there, and the mum put on Facebook that she, her daughter had been back to the doctors to get a look at a kidney and how things were going, and I'm not sure the circumstances as to why, but went back to the doctors and had a scan on her kidney. What they discovered was that faulty kidney was now perfectly functioning. But get this, not only that, the other kidney was there also. So one was removed, but there were now two kidneys there. An absolute miracle. Now, they must have asked. There must have been some prayer along the way. There must have been some God, please, can we have not just one? Can we have two? Can we ask God? Can we believe God? Can we pray that God would do some special things? Here's the thought as we close, because I've gone far too long, as I always do. Psalm 84, the Lord generously gives us his favor and honor, and no good thing will he withhold from those who do the right thing or live right. Now, I don't know your challenge. I don't know your circumstances. I don't know your situations. I don't know your junk. I don't know your trouble. I don't know your strife. I don't know what's going on inside your head. I don't know what your plans are, but I do know what the purpose of God is. And the purpose of God is that you be anointed and you be confident in it, you be calm in it, and you be confident in the anointing that God has for you this year. We need a fresh anointing. That's why we do this every year. We need a fresh passion. We need a fresh drive. We need a fresh desire for God, for the house of God. We need to live close to God. We need to draw close to God. We need to live the plan of God. We need to align the plan of God. We need to live generously. We need to love God, honor God. We need to open up and welcome God in every area of our lives. We need to love people. We need to forgive people. We need to be embracing of people, engaging people. We need to be investing in people. We need to live to be blessed and ask God to be blessed in every regard. And finally, Jacob. It says this of Jacob's life, and this is an anointed life. Because the Lord was with Joseph, he was greatly blessed, and so everything he did succeeded. We're going to pray for you today. We're not going to force anyone to be prayed for. It's an invitation. What we're going to do is have our ministry team come. They're going to come and stand at the front out here. We're going to have six groups of our ministry team members here ready to pray with you. They're not going to pray long, exhaustive prayers. They're going to pray sharp prayers today. They're going to pray powerful prayers. We want you to come in agreement with what's in your heart and you're believing God for. They're going to anoint you with oil. They're going to hand you a tissue, because we don't want the oil running in your eyes so you can wipe your forehead when you go back to your seat. Our service teams will help you come out. We're going to call people to come out kind of row by row as we work our way back and just stand in front of whoever. Can I just say this? Nobody that's out the front to pray for you has any more power or authority than anyone else. So wherever you go, it's all good. It's the same God. It's the same Spirit. It's the same anointing, no matter who's praying for you today. We're more than happy to pray for families collectively together. So mums and dads, your kids are coming in at the back of the hall now. If you'd like to grab your kids, if you don't like them, grab someone else's and bring them out the front, and we'll pray for you and your family. Or if you want to be prayed individually, we're more than happy to do that also. So as the service team work their way back and extend their arm out, that's the indication and invitation for you to make your way out the front. We'll keep it flowing so that we're not drawing this out any longer than we need to. We're going to put some music on in the background to help us with ambience. Stay engaged in what we're doing in this moment, if you would, please. Could our team come out the front, please, now, our ministry team? We had the music on. We're going to begin to pray. And if we could have our first row of people, service team, if you could help with that, we'll begin to pray. If you can't make your way out the front, just lift your hand up and we'll have people come and pray for you in your seat. So if you can't come out the front for whatever reason, just lift your hand up in the air and one of our team will come and see you, and they're going to come out and pray for you right now. Thank you.